Again, we want to continue our series of messages this morning, preaching through the book of 1 Timothy. One of the things that I believe every church should do at least every couple of years is to preach through this book, because it's so important for us to see the principles by which the Apostle Paul was revealing and teaching young Timothy, who was a pastor at one time at Ephesus. And he was a young preacher. And so not only does it address this young preacher, but God has preserved it to us. God inspired it that you and I also might benefit from it. This past week, I received several emails. And this is a follow-up message to the one last week. And one of them was from Pastor Mark Smith, Creek Baptist Church at Tacoma, Washington. He's one of our supporting pastors. He says, here in Washington, the liberal state, we are under attack by the brethren, so to say, or so they say. The religious left, the least church state in the Union, approved abortion first, public gambling, public liquor sales, euthanasia, second to Oregon, same-sex unions, legalized marijuana, and voted for Obamacare. It's legal to pass out condoms in government schools, yet against the law to pass out Bibles or tracts. Whenever we preach on it, we watch the doors open and the deceivers go out. If those are political issues, I'm a politician. They are scriptural issues, and as we both know, doctrine divides. It will soon be deemed hate speech, and we can either compromise and join them, or by conviction be silenced by those who profess to be Christians. We know what you're going to do, that's me. And solidly assured, we know what, I know what we're going to do, that's Tacoma Baptist Church and Brother Smith, and solidly assured, we know what you're going to do. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Also received a magazine that's laying right here on the front chairs there. And it's from Ken Ham with Answers in Genesis. And this is what he said. This is from his Answers Update, Volume 20, Issue 4. He asked the question, will we stand our ground for biblical truth when we are attacked for being judgmental because we stand for biblical marriage, one man, one woman? And will we stand against murdering babies in their mother's wombs by abortion? In his article, he mentions Tim Tebow, who canceled a meeting at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, because the pastor of the church takes a bold stand on biblical marriage. The secular media twisted what Pastor Jeffries' statement was, saying he was anti-Semitic and a host of other false accusations. He correctly quoted as saying that America was being brainwashed into accepting the homosexual agenda, and I agree 100% for him. But you see, Tim Tebow, if you have seen him on the sidelines, if those of you who follow sports, I never did see it because I don't watch sports. They show the crowds up there, and they're all drinking beer and this kind of thing. I don't have anything to associate with that kind of behavior. But Tim Tebow, who presented himself as this great Christian, you see him kneeling down by the sidelines of the football court there, praying for victory or whatever. Yeah, he won't stand for truth. So because of the controversy, false controversy, and that Pastor Jeffers was standing on, and by the way, he pastors one of the biggest churches in Texas, and his church is standing with him 100%. He wouldn't go there. And he said, well, it was not appropriate this time to be associated with that in his career. Well, by the way, Tim Tebow's not doing all that well playing football either. For 30 years, I've preached God's Word. Nothing more, nothing less. And Paul said, let not your good be evil spoken of. That's Romans chapter 14, verse 16. Isaiah also warned about this, saying, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Please understand, I'm only trying to proclaim in love and in compassion God's truth. And I wish all men would come to the truth and be saved. Andy said something this past week in our Bible study that really touched me. And he said, my children will not be able to grow up in the America that he did when he was a boy. They won't be able to see it. Because the liberals in our society who are pushing all this agenda on us, sinful agenda, are actually destroying America. You say, that's political. No, it's not. It's dealing with sin. And across this nation, and Ken Ham mentions this, and that's the gist of what he was saying in his letter. By the way, if you want to read it, it's laying up here on the front seat. He goes on to say, it is the religious people across the country that is standing for this liberal agenda and are promoting it. That's who's doing it. And you've heard me say this many times. The most dangerous people in the world are religious people. The most dangerous people to Christian and biblical truth are professing Christians who are liberals. Deny this Bible. They take out love. They take out the blood. They take out everything they can from the Bible. And they're preaching another gospel that's not another. I talked to a fellow just this past week. And he was telling me about what he was doing, all this kind of stuff. And I told him, I said, you know what? I just wish these folks who call themselves Christians would believe God. Why do you want to call yourself a Christian and not believe God? Why do you want to call yourself a Christian and deny this book and its inspiration? Why do you want to do that? What is the point in it? And the point is simply this. They want the name and they want the prestige of it. And by the way, some of the most high prestige and highest paid salaries going on in America today are from these guys who pastor these mega churches. And yet they deny doctrine and what this Bible teaches. And I said last week, and I'll say it again this week, that's not going to be me. As long as I've got a brain to think and a Bible to read, I'm not going to change, okay? I'm going to preach God's Word. Would to God that across this country for the last 25 years that pastors would have stood in pulpits and taught their people that these things were evil. And that, do you understand that if all the Christians who claim to be Christians and some of them claim to be biblical Christians had voted in this past election, the election would have come out different. Do you understand that? They didn't do it. They divorced themselves of it. And now they want to complain about it. You hear somebody complain, I said, who did you vote for? Paul warned about false doctrine. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You see, nothing's changed. The devil's, his policies, his practices, his agenda has not changed over 2,000 years. He was attacking the churches back then. He's attacking them today. And his methods are always the same. The first thing he wants to do is discredit this Bible. By the way, if you do not know what I mean when I say that, do you understand how many different translations there are out there? And none of them are translations. If you have an English translation and you're able to read it and everything, and it's on an 8th grade level, why in the world would you need another one? And why do we need a new translation every year? And why do they base their translations on corrupt manuscripts coming out of Egypt, which was a hotbed of heresy in the first and second centuries? Why do they choose these corrupt manuscripts to base their translations on instead of the Textus Receptus, which has purely stood all the way back to Antioch in Syria and the Syrian Bible? And the first translations, by the way, were translated out of the Greek and texts of that, and they were translated by men from the Syrian church. They were there's another Vulgate. You hear about Jerome's Vulgate. There was one before that. That Vulgate was the one that was translated from the same manuscripts that our Textus Receptus, which is the Greek text that this Bible was translated on. Maybe somebody will hear me over the internet and hear this message that I'm preaching. Oh man, that's one of them little King James preachers. Yes, that's right, I am. And I'll continue to be so. Because I know that this Bible is correct. Doctrinally, it is accurate to the Greek text. And how do I know that? Because I've read the Greek. You don't hear me emphasizing all that kind of stuff, but I took 2 years of Greek when I was in college. And I have a tremendous amount of Greek reference works and so forth. So he said here, at the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and a faith unfended. That means without hypocrisy. Faith, that's what unfended means, unfeigned means. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jabblings, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor wherein they affirm. You don't think that's not true? Turn on your radio and listen to these stations that are coming out of just south of us down here. And listen to those guys on the radio. And you want to hear some vain jabbering. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. By the way, some guy wrote me this week, he's chewing me out. They do it all the time, by the way. The more they chew me, the harder my skin gets. I don't know. You understand that? Maybe they don't grasp that. But it does. It does. It really does that. He's chewing me out. You're a legalist. Yes, I am. Okay, I admit it. I'm not foolishness. And I'm not riding a hoppy horse on dress codes and all this kind of stuff that some people call legalism. But I'll tell you what I am standing on, and on the Word of God and what it says. Amen. And when it says, thou shalt not kill, that's what it means. That means murder. So he says, knowing this, that the law is not made for righteousness of man, but for the lawlessness and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, and manslayers. That's who the law was written for. By the way, how many of you stand in fear? Well, I'm scared I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to be executed for murder. How many of you feel like that? Well, if you're a murderer, anybody, any murderers in here? Don't think so. By the way, it's amazing to me how that the liberals attack us all the time for being these terrible, terrible people. Do you understand that Obama, our president, and his Justice Department says that you and I, as fundamental Christians, are terrorists? Go on the internet and see it. He said that. That's what they call us. We are terrorists. Are you a terrorist? I'm not a terrorist. I love this country. I fought for this country. I'm a veteran. And I proudly stand. And when the flag is raised, I salute it. And the hair stands up on the back of my neck. And I'll tell you something else, too. I love this country that has given me the freedom to grow up with having the freedoms that I have. And it does bother me when I see anybody, I don't care who they are, black, white, green, or purple, that'll take away our freedoms. And that's what's going on in our society right now. It is the agenda of him and his party to destroy our freedoms and to take them one by one. And he's doing it. None of you think I'm being political. Do you think I'm being political? Well, I think I'm telling the truth. And I think I'm doing what pastors and preachers in the past did. You want to find that out? Read some of the messages of pastors and preachers who preached 100, 150 years ago. Do you understand this revolution that formed this country? At its core was pastors preaching freedom and preaching moral living, and our country and our Constitution was founded on that, on Christian principles. Principles that this Bible teaches that you can't even post today in a public place, you know. Then it says, and it goes on, and he names names, okay? For whoremongers and them that defile themselves with mankind. What does that mean? You know what it means. Defile themselves with mankind. I've been accused. Well, here, you know, you're a homophobia. I have homophobia. No, I don't. I don't have any phobia. I'm not scared of them people. But I know what they are. For man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Let me read that again. Here's Paul, who wrote most of our New Testament, and he stated, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. He's saying this to young Timothy, the preacher, and he's saying it to every preacher who's ever been called of God, and since then, to stand in a pulpit and preach and teach the Word of God to those that God has given them charge to. And notice what he says. He says, he charged them, verse 3, when I went to Macedonia, that thou madest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That's command. That's a commandment. Not saying I'm suggesting this. Maybe you ought to go down there. Don't be very careful, though. You don't want to offend nobody. That's not what he said. He said that I charge you to rebuke those people that they teach no other doctrine. Do we understand that this church, Calvary Baptist Church, belongs to who? Jesus Christ. It's his church. It was formed in his name. He is our God, he is our Savior, he is our shepherd. And I am but a hireling of his, an under-shepherd. What we do here is to be done as he instructs, and it means the preacher and every member. We are to be a lighthouse that shines out into darkness and sinful world that we find ourselves in, and that it points men to God's truth. Do you understand this wimpy position? You know, well, we shouldn't say anything about these controversial things. Oh, we don't want to offend nobody. Do you understand when you don't stand for something, you stand with it? Isn't that right? If you don't stand against it, you stand with it. And you allow it. You don't take a stand against it. Think about who is it that stands against it? Who is supposed to stand for the Word of God and for truth? Jesus Christ's church. That's who. We are to follow the example of God's Word. And as we see in these particular verses, we find God's instruction to the preacher and to the congregation. Paul left young Timothy at Ephesus, and he told him, again, I said commanded him, to command these certain men in his church not to teach false doctrine any longer, and to devote themselves, to these endless genealogies and myths. What does he mean by all that? That was a serious problem there. And it was destroying the truth. And when you destroy the truth, you destroy the opportunity that people have to know God and to serve him. It's impossible for a man who desires to do what's right and sincerely live for the Lord to do so when he's thinking wrong thoughts or he's been taught wrong things. I never will forget this lady. You've heard me mention her before. Her name was Mrs. Carmichael. She was raised up for 40 years. She preached. She was raised in a Pentecostal church. She came to our church because of she was up in age and she couldn't drive anymore. And she called me up and she first thing she asked me, she said, "Do you believe in tithing?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do. I believe you ought to give your tithes and offerings to the Lord." She said, "Good. That's what I believe too. I think that's what the Bible teaches." I said, "That's good." She said, "Let me also ask you this. Will you come by and pick up an old elderly lady who can't get to church no other way?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, we will." And we did until she died. She started coming to our church, and for 3 months, maybe 4 months, she came to our church. I never mentioned, by the way, she was a devout tongue speaker. A dyed-in-the-wood Pentecostal. I never mentioned it from the pulpit. Never did. She called me up and she says, "Can you come by and see me?" And by the way, I visited her pretty regularly. And I said, "Yes, Ms. Carmichael, I'll be by." So I came by to see her. I walked in the door and sat down. I can still see her apartment and everything in it. I came down and sat down. And she sat across me, and boy, you could tell by her face, she had something serious on her mind. And she said, "I'm mad." And I said, "What are you mad about?" And I said, "Oh my goodness, what have I done?" You'd be surprised how many times that I feel that way when somebody wants to come to me. They got come kind of playing, "Oh my, what have I done now?" She said, "I'm mad." I said, "Miss Carmichael, are you mad at me?" She said, "Absolutely not. I'm mad at them lying Pentecostal preachers who lied to me all these many years." What did they lie about? Eternal security? They told her she could lose her salvation. She said, "You can't lose your salvation." That's what I, by the way, is one of the things I preached on. And that just led her down the primrose path. And she saw what the Bible said. And she taught it. She turned from that stuff. She said, "They lied to me." And by the way, a few years later, she died. And is now with the Lord, of that rejoicing with Him. God bless her. She was a Christian. She was. She loved the Lord with all her heart. But she was in a church that was teaching her wrong. God forbid that any man would stand behind a pulpit and lie to people and preach his own agenda and that of his denomination rather than preaching the Word of God. Now, when Judaizers in the early churches there, and these were the guys who were teaching, we believe, talking about myths and these endless genealogies. In other words, they were saying, "Well, we're Jews, you know, we're Jews, we're God's chosen people, we're going to heaven, you know. All we got to do is keep the law, you know, and we'll please God." These were the Judaizers. And guess where they were? They had infiltrated the gospel preaching churches of that day. They were teaching that. And by the way, do you understand anybody who holds false doctrine, they won't keep their mouth shut. They gotta get people to go with them, you know. They gotta join with me, you know. And that's why one of the things that I've stood on in this church, and I'll see it, and I'll continue to stand on it, if somebody comes in this church and they will not agree with our doctrinal statement, which agrees with this Bible, I'm not going to let them make a member of this church. You say, "Can you do that?" Yes, I can. I'm the pastor. I can do that. And by the way, I can't stop you from doing it, but I can tell you that I'm not going to support it. And then you can do what you want to because this congregation has congregational rule. And by the way, there are congregations all over this country who had godly preachers standing in the pulpit, but they wouldn't follow them. And so they voted to do other things. And they destroyed the church. And by the way, you understand when we were reading through the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, what did God say about these churches that were turning against doctrine? He said, "I will remove your candlestick." Who was the candlestick? That's the man of God that God put there. He said, "I'll move them. I'll move them out. You won't have one." Do you understand that particular church? And this is a terrible thing to happen. If God withdraws his candlestick, his pastor, the one he's called to lead the congregation, what do you think happens with God's favor on that church and his blessings? And his approval. Judaizers were teaching another gospel. It was all mingled with error.
All but to say, these folks are preaching the gospel. They're standing in the pulpits and saying, we love Jesus.
Well, if you love Jesus, you'll obey his word. That's what he said. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? That's what he said. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't follow me? You don't do what I tell you to do. I'm not your Lord. That's the whole point of it. And that's God made a true church. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and also 46, that they continued in the apostles' doctrines. That was that they continued in what Jesus taught them. The church has foundational doctrines in the New Testament. No church is a true New Testament church if it's not solidly found on the doctrines that are in the New Testament. Turn with me to Acts chapter 29. Acts chapter 29, we want to begin reading in verse 27. Acts 29, we'll begin reading in verse 27. Luke, writing to the early churches, makes this statement. For the heart of this people waxed gross, their eyes were dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted that I should heal them. That's what the Apostle Paul was called to do. And that's what Jesus was telling him. Be it known, therefore, unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, had great reasoning among themselves. By the way, I'm just reading it to verse 28. You said, why is he reading that? Well, I had the wrong page on. Verse 27 says, but when the 14th night was come, they were driven down to Abram. And about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they would draw near. That's not the right verse either. What am I doing? Verse 2. I was in Acts chapter 29. Oh, I mean, there is no 29. I'm in the wrong book. Well, now you know something very important. And you keep this in mind, too. Your pastor's not infallible. By the way, one day I'll give you the verse. Okay. I wish I had it. Maybe it's 26. No, it's not 26 either. I'm taking up time. Maybe it's in 20. Let me look in 20. Oh, yes. There it is. You know what I did? I typed a 9 instead of a 0. It's Acts chapter 20. Let me change that right quick. I don't have a pen. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. Paul said, I am not shunned to declare you unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock of God, which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves. Men shall arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn men every night and day with tears. That was the Apostle Paul. That's the heart of a pastor. And so there are people who will come into a church and will try to destroy it. There are people who ought not be members of this church. You understand that? Just because they come in the door and they sit down and they tell us they're Christians and all that, and go on and on and on about it, that does not mean that they're in a doctrinal agreement with our church. And you know what I do? I give them a copy of the Constitution of our church. And I ask them, I said, please read this and let me know if you're in agreement with it. If there's something you don't understand, let me know. I'll try to explain it to you from the Word of God. What is taught in a church should be from love and out of a pure heart. The goal or the reason of giving commandments to them not to teach false doctrine was to produce service to Jesus Christ out of love, not obedience to an act or a work which comes from an impure heart or some impure reason. So many false teachers today teach you can perform some religious act, some religious ritual, and this manner you'll please God and earn His acceptance. Nothing's further from the truth. So many false teachers today will teach you these kind of things. And many times when they come into a church, they'll begin to try to draw disciples unto themselves. Nothing is further from the truth. They even try to do that on the internet. You ought to go on and sometimes read some of the email that I get. You know, you false teacher, you false prophet, and they go on and on and on. Some of them call me some more ugly things than that. This type of false teaching, in a real sense, begins to give people the license to sin. I told you about a church just south of us. Supposed to be an independent Baptist church, teaching what we call sinless perfection. Oh, God's already forgiven you all your sins, so you can live like you want to. I don't think that's true. I kind of think when Romans was written, when Paul wrote the book of Romans, he kind of addressed that thing, because the devil always has the same thing. He never changes his procedures one bit. He's always got people that will listen to him and follow him. And so to the Romans, he wrote, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Romans chapter 6, verse 1. "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death?" And what is this death is about? The victory over sin and death. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection." Notice verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." As best I know how, I have tried to teach the truth, and will continue to do so. And though we've had people who came in this church, sit in these chairs, and heard the messages preached from this pulpit that were truth, by the way, I've never heard one of them, not one of them, tell me I've preached false doctrine. There's always some other issue. You're too political. You're speaking against the party the political party that I belong in, everything, and so forth. Going on. The Bible says that the law is a schoolmaster, and it tells us what sin is. The law defined what sin is for us. It's a roadmap. It'll show us where we are. Do you understand that the Ten Commandments are law? "Thou shalt have no other God before me." And he goes right down the list of the sins that it speaks against. Laws are good, because they define to us what's right and wrong. We don't have to worry about that and have to surmise what it is. You don't have to leave it up, "Well, I wonder what Peter will say about this. I wonder if he thinks that's sin." No. The Bible very plainly tells us what sin is and what it's not. And we also know this: whatever sin we commit, it has its destructive influence on us, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Paul in Galatians chapter 1, you think things are any different than they were back then? Do you think that they had problems like we're having today? Do you understand that a lot of the churches, and I'm going to start to say most of the churches, but a lot of the churches in Paul's day turned against the truth also? You don't think that's true? Read John's book of Revelation. In other words, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Read chapters 3, 2 and 3. Paul said this: "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And that word accursed is the word anathema. That means dedicated to destruction. That's what it means. And as we said before, we say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be anathema. For do I now persuade men? And this is the preacher's mandate. And it should be your mandate. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So, these have been two messages I have preached, one last Sunday and this one this morning. And I'm trying to, as best I can, with compassion and love, and I know from my voice you may say, well, my wife tells me, so sometimes you say things that doesn't sound, you know, sounds like you're kind of mad or upset or something. Well, I am upset with sin. I am upset with devil and this kind of thing. But well, I tell you what, I love God's people, and I think you know I love you. I know Christ loves you. So we must ask, each of us must ask ourselves, do we truly believe the Word of God and are we going to follow it? Why does God warn us so much about sin? Would He mislead us? Would He deceive us? Would He be trying to hurt us in some way or take some pleasure away from us that we might otherwise enjoy? What is the message of the Bible? God wants His love freely to be offered, that He forgives sins, and that He gives an eternal life to all who believe. After we are saved, truly saved by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know He's forgiven us our sins, and we can go forth walking in the pure reality that we're the children of God, and that heaven is our home. And our God and Creator that we saw so beautifully shown in the Sunday school lesson this morning in that video we showed. He warns us to be witnesses. Excuse me. He wants us to be witnesses of the saving gospel, both in the way we live our lives and what we stand for and what we try to teach others. The question is simple. Are we truly living by faith? Faith in this book, in God's very word, which means that you and I, as individuals and collectively as a church, stand for the word of God, and that you and I are in unity on our commitment to preach, to teach, and to promulgate the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And His word. I hope that's the desire of every person in this room this morning. Now I pray that if it comes up in the future, and it will. Yeah, I know the devil's tricks. He's probably got somebody crying right now to come in and to cause trouble. He may even be trying to cause trouble in your life. He may be trying to influence you. Don't accept the terrible agenda of the Satan. Let's stand on God's word. Stand together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we so readily know as we stand on your word that we can be assured of your blessings. We can be assured that we are the sons of God. That as we believe and put our faith in you, we can be assured our sins are forgiven and our destiny, our eternity on this world is going to be in heaven with you. Lord, we can't even fathom all that entails. But I pray, dear Lord, that each of us, in our small and individual way, will earnestly contend with the faith, as Jude 3 says. And we'll stand together. We'll thank you for the strength that we have. In Christ's name, amen. Brother Andy.